It's going. All right. What is up, everybody? It's Gutex, and welcome to the untitled, as of yet, untitled esports show. I am here with two veterans of the esports industry. We got Zorin all the way on the left, by way of Australia, coming to you live from super rainy Los Angeles. And we got Slasher in the middle, coming to you all the way from super rainy New York City. Guys, thank you for joining me. And thanks to everybody. Thanks to the one or two people that are watching right now. We thought that there was a gap in the market. A gap for an esports show that would cover all of the issues. All of the Twitch drama. All of all of this stuff. A gap in the market since one of Slasher's earlier shows, Live on 3, no longer exists. And so we're coming through hot and heavy with a three webcam setup.
Production values.
Ryan, that wasn't at all what the planned intro was supposed to be. For the three people that are in chat, one, I'm going to need PogChamps in chat, Twitch chat, from all five of you for PogChamp on the screen. I know some people just only know you as PogChamp. I'm going to need Zorina, I'm going to need you and Ryan to tweet out the stream. This is what I had to do to Wheat and Scott. I'm like, okay, now the stream is live. You two have tweeted out. More than people actually know that we're live and are actually watching us because we're not popular people.
Well, Ryan, here's the thing.
Your plan intro really for care. Me and Zorin did not go well at all.
Okay? I asked you guys.
She's the Australian girl and I'm the New York person. This is what you ended up with?
I asked you guys to submit your bios. I was going to read them word for word. Unfortunately, I guess your publicists just didn't get them to me in time, so we just did it off the top of the dome. But Slasher, go ahead and introduce yourself.
No, I'm all right with what you did. I'm just saying it wasn't all like how I thought it was going to be. I just want to say
we talked about it, and then like as soon as we went live, the whole script just like went out the window.
This is true. You
know what? Esports veterans, Zorin and Slasher. Zorin thinks of herself as a content creator and a writer first and foremost. Slasher thinks of himself as the number one esports journalist on the internet.
Consultant, oh, Ryan. Sorry. It's in my fucking profile, all right? Consultant and insider. World's number one esports consultant. And kick. I mean, come on. It's not that hard. Multiple websites have said that too. Every time that I tell them to write that, they write that. So now
they write what? Number one.
God, they actually
write. I'm the world's number one esports consultant and insider. You know why? Because I told them. Did they ask any questions? No. Did they just print it immediately as I told them to? Yes. And now it's a fact. So there's not much more than that. That's all you gotta do on the internet.
Like journalists. I'm going to need to see a source, and
okay, no
your
problem.
Twitter is not a valid source.
No problem. I got you, bro. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, let's this see. I want to see. And what?
This one's easy.
What media organization of high standards and integrity would possibly put Rod Slasher Breslau as number one esports consultant?
I have a whole page dedicated. Even the
You even have a headshot.
The SEO, the SEO title of the page is Rod Breslau -1-esports-consultant. Okay, I'm so fucking good.
Right, so what outlet
to help their SEO for that website?
Sure. What reputable news outlet put that on there?
Okay. No. I'm gonna just show you. That's what I can do for someone's SEO. That's how good that I am. Ryan, I'm gonna get you the reputable outlet that you are asking for to help us. Okay, here's one. Here's Variety, who is a very famous entertainment and music and movies, and now they have a whole games section about video games on there. Very very famous magazine.
What's it called?
Ryan.
Yeah, what's
Variety?
Variety. Wow.
Yeah. You must know Variety.
All right, great. So we've established Rod's credentials.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I'm on this party show.
Sure, Rod.
Well, I mean, if Variety says it, it must be true, so.
I mean.
Right, I actually need to read this. All right, it says an esports consultant and analyst, but it doesn't say the number one esports consultant.
Okay, you know what?
Thank you, Zorin.
They had to admit that for their fellow editors. You know, they didn't want to make them feel bad.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, because there were people in the office that were claiming the number one esports consultant slot, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and they knew it was me, but they didn't want to intrude on their own employees. They felt that was, you know,
they're not
it
true.
Would mess up the workplace. So
inner office politics, of course.
Yeah, yeah, it would hit up the morale, make everyone lower. They didn't want to ruffle some feathers in there, so they couldn't put that in there. But they know. They put part of it.
Okay, well, I'm glad we spent the first 5 minutes of the show introducing you as the number one esports consultant.
We got you, Rod. Week. Another incredible. Okay.
I don't think we need to see any more leaks. I believe the point has been proven.
See, all you got to do is tell these journalists that work at famous websites who you are and what you are, and they don't ask any questions, because that's kind of how things run now on the internet, which we'll get to in just a little bit with some more great topics.
No, that's a good segue. Show. That's a good segue into a first topic, actually.
Oh, no, that's not our first fucking topic.
Wait, no? Do we have a run sheet?
Sure, we have the number one esports consultant joining us, Zorin. Please give yourself a better intro than I was able to give you.
No, that's fine. I mean, yeah, I am Australian. I am based in Los Angeles. These are facts, so they weren't inaccurate. I used to work for Yahoo Esports, so that's like my esports credential, I guess. And of course, before that, GameSpot, which is where I met Gutex, and Slasher as well, so we worked there together. And now I work in an esports agency, so I've gone over to the dark side of things.
Is that the dark side, or is that the light side?
No, I think it's the dark side. Marketing and such is the dark side. And we do consulting as well, so technically, I too am an esports consultant.
Shit. Oh, wow. You got some competition, Rod. Zorin's coming in hot.
I better get a variety.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, for all the, you know, 20 people watching us, you're the same 20 people that might have watched our previous show that me and Ryan did at GameSpot. Zorin, fortunately for you, probably was not in that show. Zorin, you actually, Zorin met each other at GameSpot. She stuck in Australia for a long time. Travis finally gets Zorin to fucking move over to North America for Yahoo Esports. Thank you, Travis Gafford. Everyone, we all know Travis. We give him a round of applause.
No, don't give him. Don't applaud Travis. Don't applaud Travis.
Matt. Unfortunately, shortly after.
Shortly after you moved, Zorin, did Yahoo? You know, and then make it official: immigration, green card, and all that stuff. Did Yahoo Esports like fold up?
It was like, I think it was 10 months. Around 10 months.
That's not
moved.
Bad. That's not
yeah,
bad.
It wasn't bad. And, like, I don't, like, regret it or anything. So, like, obviously I'm sad Yahoo Esports went down because it was, like, the number one esports media website at the time. Probably still is if we're still around. And, you know, it's sad that it went down. But, like, I don't regret, like, coming here and moving here and being, like, LA is, like, the hub of esports right now. So it all worked out in the end, right?
I mean, look, it's not bad. But it took me at least a year for me to kill on gamers, Zorin. Okay, so...
That wasn't even you killing it. That was someone else.
Well, you know what? No, my participation was not good. Thorn then being kind of racist against Poland also did not help us. I want to say it's a combination of a few things.
It was a group effort.
It was a group effort. Thank you, Zorin. Thank you. Yahoo! You know, you guys is also a group effort. You failed together. You all went down on a ship.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
And now you guys both went from super high budget esports production, that esports money was so sweet, counts for at least, you know, 3x normal USD, and now here we are with a show that is finally sustainable because it requires essentially $0. So
that took us an hour to set up.
the real story, Gutex, where the fuck have you been?
Where have I been?
Okay, we just went over where what happened with me and Zareen. Now, yeah. Gutex, PogChamp, for most of you out there, I know that's really how you know of Ryan here. When you only started uploading on CrossCounter recently, and now we're doing the show here. Where the fuck? What's going on, bro? How are you?
Sure. My name is Gutex, recently resurrected from the dead. I was in a dark place at a dark time. Things
real. Keep it real.
Yeah.
Things started to deteriorate. I don't know, Q3, Q4 of 2017. I hit what could be referred to as, I don't know, writer's block for content or videos and whatever. That combined with a whole host of, I don't know, life situation changes. Relocated from the capital of esports, aka Los Angeles, to the new capital of esports, Las Vegas. And recently started to produce content again, and thought that since your show, Rod, Live on 3, wasn't around anymore, and, you know, you guys had both been burned by, you know, esports money not lasting, I thought that you guys would appreciate the DIY efforts going on around here.
You know what? I do appreciate the DIY efforts. I just want to say Twitch, DJ Wheat Moneybags is still a Twitch, Ryan. Okay, so Marcus is doing just okay with all the esports money currently.
Yeah, so what you're saying is he left his boy down here in the struggle.
You know what? I've always been in the struggle. Also, me and Scoot, not on the greatest of speaking terms right now. So
what did you do?
You know, that's for another time, Ryan. Okay, I'm here for you and about you. Why do you decide to go from L.A. to Vegas? Because as we know, Zareen's in L.A. now. You could be hanging out with her right now. In person, you don't want to hang out with Zareen.
And when I was in L.A., we did hang out. Check, you know, all of the, you know, check the archives. DMs? Check the tapes. Check the DMs. But I moved to Vegas because I just don't. There wasn't a lot in LA. I mean, people can argue that LA is where esports happens, blah blah blah. That may or may not be the case, but I would not say that it mattered. Like, just because LA is the home of esports doesn't mean that that had anything to do with me. So I saw that there were more opportunities in Vegas, so I dipped.
That makes sense. I think especially for FGC, right? Like, FGC is kind of like separate from esports, all the esports that's happening in LA specifically. So, like,
yeah, exactly. Think about
it. We're like poverty sports, so yeah.
Yeah, think about it this way, right? Like, I think that esports, I mean, this is part of the problem that a lot of FGC people had with esports the entire time, which is that esports is so broad and encompasses so many different titles that you definitely will have cities or areas that are really good for one game, but they don't really exist for the other games. And I think that Vegas has this sort of perfect storm of factors that will specifically benefit fighting games and battle royale style games.
Why battle royale?
So I think that there's something to be said for the type of experience that the battle royale genre provides, because let's say you can get 100 people in the same room playing the same game with each other. And so when you look at, for example, events like the Ninja event that they had around the launch of Esports Arena Las Vegas, you have the opportunity to, as like a fan or a player, play with your favorite streamer or Fortnite player or whatever in a way that's just not really possible with other genres. So I think that lends itself well to Vegas.
Well, what's the difference between Vegas or the OGN studio in Los Angeles that's running the PUBG League or Korea's gigantic ass?
Great question.
I know. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Here's the big Twitter bucks.
10 points.
Yeah. This is why you're number one, Rod. The difference between where'd you say it was in LA?
LA,
it's in Manhattan Beach.
Studio.
Okay.
And PUBG League.
Where's the other one?
And then Korea, South Korea.
Okay. I can't speak for Korea because I've never been there. But I used to live in LA and know it very well. The difference is that Manhattan Beach is not a draw in the same way that Las Vegas is a draw. It's easy to get people to go to Las Vegas professionally, recreationally, whatever, because Las Vegas, for people that live in North America, is a draw in and of itself. So if you add, esports factors to it, and then you combine it with other circling factors around Vegas, such as gambling, and then eventually esports gambling, legalized cannabis, all these factors that swirl around Vegas, I just see that it's going to be way easier to get people to travel there, as it has been for, decades, long before esports was around. And I just don't see Manhattan Beach having the same appeal. The other thing is that Manhattan Beach is so far from every other place in Southern California that it would take forever to get there. It's not a travel destination. The list goes on. So that's why I think Vegas has the advantage for that type of thing.
I mean, the only thing that comes to my head is that the H1Z1 League was held in Las Vegas. And you know what? That didn't go too fucking well. I do like what Esports Arena is doing, and I do like what WSOE is doing. I think WSOE is probably the bigger influence here. I mean, Esports Arena and now Allied, and we're actually going to our actual first.
What a great segue! Show.
Good.
You know
segue.
What? We're 15 minutes in, and this is definitely not getting done in hours. So Ryan was planning on trying to get it done in an hour. There's absolutely no chance that happens.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it. Goals. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that's a good segue into our first topic, which is the Allied Esports stuff. I know, Ryan, you're like super into it. You tweeted like a whole thread about it as well. I think it's good that we bring it up because it happened during the holidays, so a lot of people probably missed it and don't even know that this whole thing even exists.
Agreed, yes. So this is the part that I forgot to set up in XSplit, but that's okay.
Okay. Oh, now that we have some people watching, thank you for making me remember, Ryan. For those of you who don't know what's going on, this is basically our scuff show. This is untitled. We don't got lower thirds. We don't got fucking graphics.
I got a lower third.
Ryan and Zareen wanted to do this show, and they didn't want to ask me. They didn't want to have me involved at all because I'm too flaky, and I'm never going to show up on time, which I will say, very fair points there. But before we got on
the show, that's why you're on the show.
Into this.
Zareen shows up late, and Ryan can't get the fucking show working until an hour later. Who was here on time? Who had all the shit set up properly ready for the show to begin? Me. Who's got my drink ready early? I did. Not these two. Just want to put that out there.
Is that like your thing? You showed up to the first show super early so that you can rub this in our faces in the very first episode. I'm sorry, I had a day job and Ryan had technical difficulties because he had to wait for me to get back from my day job and set this whole thing up. Anyway, I'm glad you got that out of your system, Rod.
Thank you,
Zareen. Now, can we move back to the topic?
Yes, back to the topic at hand. let me switch to this. God, this is, we're going to need a different setup next time. Esports Observer reports, Allied Esports World Poker Tour merged to create Allied Esports Entertainment. The TLDR basically states that Black Ridge Acquisition Corporation is acquiring these two companies from R-Game International. R-Game owned both Allied Esports and World Poker Tour, and basically these guys are joining up together for a $11.6 million shares at a $118 million valuation USD. This is, you know, this news came out around the holidays. I searched my Twitter feed high and low to try to find people talking about this. I didn't find anybody talking about it. I even at replied Slasher. It was definitely morning time on the East Coast. And I was like, hey, I said, at Slasher, number one esports consultant, where is the breakdown and info on this merger slash acquisition? To which he replied nothing. So then I had to make my own summary so that I can maybe someday overtake the number one esports consultant. I mean, I'm not number one yet, but maybe this summary that I wrote that I will recap for you guys here. Basically, parent company of esports is merging with World Poker Tour, branding as Allied Esports Entertainment. The transaction is supposed to finish in Q1 of 2019, and then it will be publicly traded. Black Ridge acquisition is already publicly traded. You can search for the stock ticker BRAC, and then that will turn into the new Allied Esports stock. I don't know, after they finish the transaction. They have $100 million in cash because Black Ridge came with that kind of money and bought all those shares. They are building flagship arenas that will cost $20 million each, one in Europe and one in Asia. For context and reference, the esports arena location in Las Vegas, which is inside of the Luxor, is considered the current flagship arena. And what I found most interesting is that their model is based on three verticals. Number one, producing in-person events. Number two, producing content and selling sponsorships on the content. And the third one is a subscription service that will leverage World Poker Tour expertise to run online tournaments with cash prizes and unique experiences like playing with your favorite streamers, kind of like what they set up with Ninja and Esports Arena when it opened. And finally, the other part that I found really interesting was that they got $120,000 in sponsorship money from Purple Mattresses and Red Bull for the Ninja launch event. All of this tells me that this is a potentially huge deal for esports at large, and really shed a lot of insight on where the big real venture capital money thinks the opportunity and value lies. Because, you know, of course, we've seen tons of different people get invested in, you know, making teams and all that stuff. But this is kind of one of the first big plays that's, let's say, real estate and content centric. What do you guys think?
Okay, so firstly, to like take two steps backwards. So Allied Esports, they own, like, they're most known for owning all of the esports arena locations in North America. Is that correct?
Yeah, and now, let's say, rolling out their affiliate program to roll up other esports arena into their larger banner.
Okay, and do they currently have any content plays? I don't think that, like, they have any, right? Or do they own any websites?
Do they have any content plays? My understanding, based on watching their 40-minute investor presentation, which was fascinating, is that they're spending millions of dollars on, you know, equipment to produce a lot of this content in-house based on the events that they're estimating to, you know, be able to pull off like 80 events per month or something like, or 80 events per year or something like that.
Okay.
So they're, let's say, doing a lot of the content themselves.
I mean, I'd personally like to know if Esports Arena is making money. I'm not sure if in that report it showed if these venues are profitable or not. I really am interested if they are. I
don't see how they possibly could be at this point.
It's part of a larger... Like, I don't think they could be either. It's part of a larger comeback of PC cafes in North America, where PC gaming cafes kind of died, and arcade culture also went down. But now it's like, it's at least for PC gaming cafes, that's had a resurgence because PC gaming is so big. Arcade culture is kind of like tied. It's all like a one encompassing thing. Like, you have a venue that has all of the above. It has arcade culture and it has PCs and it has console shit inside of it. I think generally, as someone who lives in New York, there's something called Waypoint Cafe. I know the owner pretty well, and he's profitable for his venue, and it's relatively new. I'd say it's 2 years old. Right, and he has a new
scale coming soon. So yeah, think of Esports Arena Las Vegas as the existing flagship store or location. And so,
but the LA event was the flagship. The Vegas one is the new kind of. It's much bigger.
I'm just relaying the way that they categorized it in the in the investor presentation. So if we think of Vegas as flagship, and then Europe and Asia as forthcoming flagship arenas at the $20 million price point, I think it's highly unlikely that Esports Arena Las Vegas is, you know, around that. I mean, they probably spent like a similar amount of money. I don't see how they could have possibly made that back. It's been like 8 months. But I think the bigger, they don't really need to be profitable because they got $100 million in cash after this acquisition. Yeah.
I think, like, if you're thinking about their business model, right, like, their money isn't coming from people like everyday people like you and me walking in and paying, like, what, the $5 venue fee to play games there for a night, right? Their money is probably coming from, like, the big publisher events that they host there, like the Big Ninja thing, or when Esports Arena hosts some sort of, like, launch event for a game or promotes some sort of other event. Like, I think that's where they probably make the bulk of their money. And like for a venue, currently, that's probably the smarter play.
Yeah, I know that, you know, the Esports Arena in Vegas, it was built at its size to bring in publishers and developers and host their events at their venue, which I do think is important. I mean, we see as Esports continues to grow, owning the physical space that the events are put in seems like it's a pretty important thing. I like each of the developers now have built their own shit. So you have Riot that has their own studio, and you have now OGN is technically an event organizer, and they built their own studio. And LA and Blizzard's kind of renting out the old Tonight Show, you know, thing for the Overwatch League,
right,
for example. But I do think if you're not Riot or Blizzard, you're probably not going to build your own arena. So if you do own your own arena, like Esports Arena has, renting it out to every other developer and publisher is probably a smart move. But for me, Zorin, it still feels like the bread and butter has to be normal people coming in and paying money to use the stuff. It can't always be events. There aren't enough events that if you don't include Blizzard and you don't include Riot, because they have their own deals with certain venues, I really don't think there are enough events to pay for the venue all year if you don't have normal people coming in to pay for something.
Agreed, and that's why what makes their whole merger acquisition interesting is that it's in-person events, content, and the sponsorship of said content, plus the platform, their subscription service platform that they are building that's going to launch like 2020 or something.
What is that?
So it's going to be, I think this is where the World Poker Tour, you know, expertise and experience comes into play, because of the infrastructure that World Poker Tour has built over the years to funnel online poker players and give them a path towards in-person events in Vegas. So I'm imagining a subscription service that probably includes access to content and tournaments, because it mentions specifically, you know, that people that subscribe to the service would potentially be able to play with their favorite streamers and pro players and personalities and stuff. And that sort of subscription service for esports and tournaments and as a platform doesn't really exist right now.
That's interesting. I wonder if like that would actually be profitable, because as like influencers get more and more popular and things are kind of like the Wild Wild West now, and I'm like risking going off on a tangent by saying all this stuff, but like influencers starting to charge more and more for their time, right? Like if you are publisher or an event organizer and you want to have a big streamer or big pro player be part of your event, it's going to cost you a lot. So I wonder how profitable this like subscription thing actually will be, like to have a pro player or a streamer who is famous on your books to be able to do something like that.
Well, I mean,
I don't think they'll get, they're not going to get the top tier. Esports Arena won't get any of the top tier. Well, they'll get middle of the road, middle of the road players that don't have like negotiating power, that don't have leverage to get the like better deals.
To do,
I personally cannot see Esports Arena won't get fucking anyone no one of like big name.
Okay,
no.
First off, just to play devil's advocate, I don't give a shit either way. But you can't really say that they're not able to get like top tier talent, because they started this thing in Vegas with Ninja. Or I'm sorry, yeah, is he not good enough? Sorry, was there?
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. So
that event went really well.
Yeah. So if you could do that, you know, obviously they already have there isn't a program yet. What I'm saying is that they're saying that they can get talent to participate some way as a value add as part of the subscription service. I mean, at this point, it remains to be seen whether or not all of these events would, let's say, need to take place in an esports arena venue, or whether some of the events could just take place online. Like, for example, you know, win some kind of subscribers are automatically entered into a contest to win a chance to play with Ninja online, and if you score in the top whatever 10-20%, then you advance to some other thing, so that eventually you can come to Vegas, not Manhattan Beach, and play with Ninja at Esports Arena in person. Wow,
magic. I'm sold.
You know, so take that analogy and then insert your favorite game and your favorite streamer and then recreate it. And I think that there's a lot of value in there, and I don't really see why they wouldn't be able to pull it off, because if you got $100 million in the bank, you know, you can make a few things happen.
Yeah, let's spend it all recklessly.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like the entire thing was a little reckless, but now that I have a better, when I was just thinking about it as a venue, but now with like the content play and the subscription platform play, things are like way more interesting now.
Doesn't matter at all to me.
Which part?
Neither of those. I don't care. I don't think either of those are going to bring in the money. I think they're both going to.
You think fail the money is in the? You think the money is in the events?
The actual venue. I mean, that's how they started to begin with. The physical space is what you need. That's what they're renting out for a ton of money to Red Bull to pay for Ninja's fucking.
Right, but like you said earlier, there's just not enough events to make that, you know, sustainable.
Well, you know what? For how big the Vegas pyramid fucking thing is, yeah, it's a. I mean, they went all out. Okay, the one in LA is pretty modest, is it not?
The one in LA is it's not as
the original one.
Yeah, the original one is different, but the other thing is that the Vegas one was the LAX nightclub before. So like all of I mean, obviously they added in a ton of gear and stuff, but like let's say the structure of the venue seemed like it was already, you know, established.
No, I just mean like they're really trying to hit a home run in Vegas with how big of a venue that they rented out to now brand as Esports Arena compared to their more modest approach of going, you know, building the thing in LA and then expanding it. They have one in they have a few now, right? Isn't there one in NorCal?
Yeah, there's one in Oakland.
Oh, I think. There you go.
Oakland? Yeah, somewhere in NorCal.
Oakland, Santa Ana, Vegas, with the two new, and you know, they have like affiliate venues in like China or whatever. And
so,
that's also another problem. I think they're going to have severe issues when trying to go into Asia. I really do not see it going well. Unless they have a whole type of local help in China or Korea, I do not see that fucking working out.
I think they already have an assortment of Chinese-affiliated esports venues.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Did they mention in the presentation if, like, the content and the subscription thing, like, they're launching will be branded Esports Arena as well? Or is that going to be, like, completely separate?
You know, the platform is going to be called... God, it's something with a C. I forget. The platform is called something else.
Okay,
and
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know about the content. It seemed like it was going to be... I think the move eventually is for them to make it so that when they're trying to do when they're not doing like publisher events, you know, when they're just doing like normal, like, I don't know, day-to-day or weekend events that are probably at this point like mostly community driven, I think at some point all of that content is going to need to be on the Esports Arena whatever channel. Or under Esports Arena control, with either them producing it with them producing it, because otherwise, you know, they're going to be missing out on a lot of content, like specifically, let's say, you know, all the fighting game stuff that's going on in Santa Ana and Oakland with Wednesday Night Fights. I mean, all that stuff right now is on the Level Up channel. And, you know, it might be to the point where the relationship is established, so they just kind of let that rock. But I think it would be silly of them not to try to control all of the content that was coming out of there regularly. Like, let's say, new stuff that might be developed, you know, going forward.
So have it all, like, branded, like, Esports Arena, basically.
Well, yeah, because...
To drive interest back to the actual venue itself.
Not just that makes sense. Not just the venue, but the channel too, because you know the channel that you're using to broadcast is certainly going to influence how many people are watching. So you know, when you compare, let's say the Level Up channel, which has been going since 2009, 2010, when you compare that to like let's say the Esports Arena channel, or like let's say Esports Arena Santa Ana channel, I mean the Level Up channel's got to be like way bigger. So I don't know. I think it's going to get interesting in the next couple of years in the, you know, esports real estate venue space.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. Allied Esports is going to be the next big thing in the esports venue space.
Yeah, you literally heard it only here first because no one really...
No one else is talking about it. Yeah,
not even the number one...
And Ryan wants everyone to care.
I literally...
That's the point of this show.
I don't care if anybody else cares. I thought it was... The other part that I... we didn't really talk about, but I think is like super interesting, is that the company that acquired them, Black Ridge Acquisitions... they're already publicly traded. So once the merger completes, then there'll be a stock ticker change, and essentially you'll be able to buy stock in Allied Esports. I personally find that fascinating because there's not a lot of companies that, like, let's say you wanted to invest in esports, like your options are actually quite narrow, but this actually kind of opens it up. And so, I mean, this I'm not a investment advisor, but this is one of the first opportunities as far as I can tell.
So is for any of you who are looking to, you know, maybe pull the rope from the, if you have Activision stocks, stop right there. Get your Allied Esports stocks. Don't worry, you'll be back there in no time. If you had Bitcoin and if you had Activision stocks since last year, it's all right. It's all right. You'll be okay, maybe. Get in on these Allied Esports first openings. You'll be right back in the game or whatever the fuck they call that shit.
All right. Moving on.
Let's see. Next topic. Can we do the Rod one?
Sure.
The Rod one.
The one that Rod volunteered. Okay. I like that headline.
Sure. Let me switch over to this thing. Ah, the headline of the week. The elephant in the room. Why we should never forget this particular Overwatch embarrassment. Richard Lewis coming through with a attention-grabbing headline that I think is quite funny.
I applaud it. Props to the editor who did that.
Yeah, whoever wrote that headline is a genius.
That was either Kevin Hitt or it might have just been Richard himself, which I would definitely could imagine that would be the case.
Yes. Credit to vpesports.com where you can find it. Rod, why don't you tell us a little bit about
how much do you know, Ryan or Zareen? Can you, Zareen, you probably know more than Ryan. I want to see where are you up to speed? Are you on the, how much of the don't give a shit level are you? Are you up like on a, here and a top, really haven't given any of a shit?
So just to recap for people who maybe, like me, live in a cave, there was an Overwatch player, a mysterious Overwatch player that appeared on the amateur circuit, swiftly rose to the top, supposedly was a 17-year-old girl. Then I guess she got like pressured or bullied and then withdrew from the league. And then it was exposed that she wasn't a 17-year-old girl at all. She was just, you know, some pro Overwatch player masquerading as a 17-year-old girl playing Overwatch. Is that
accurate? That is reasonably accurate. it does leave out a few things, especially considering the article that Richard wrote addressed.
Oh, I'm just recapping the media. What actually happened, the media blow-up. Not the media.
That is pretty good. The media blow up is like pretty fucking important here. That is pretty good. There are a few things that I've learned that are in addition to that. Some details here and there, but I'd say that's reasonable.
Tell us about the details.
Okay. there are a few things. One, the dude who's been playing under the LE Battle.net account and who's using the Twitter and the Discord according to him, as even up until today, I have not been able to verify this is true, he does have a friend or a girlfriend or whatever the fuck happened named Ellie, who this was all inspired over, and she actually was...
he knew a girl named Ellie once. Okay, got it.
No, this girl was the original person talking for him. There is an Ellie, okay? From what I can tell, there is an Ellie. She wasn't harassed, and she didn't get the abuse which started off this entire media fire to begin with, but there is an Ellie, which apparently is his friend, or might not be his friend anymore, that was one of the first, because I don't know, I mean, I fucking would hope not, that was one of the first girls that, like, spoke for him in-game to help him fake this whole thing to begin with. Now, I've tried to find Ellie. I cannot find her. I don't know her, you know, I don't know anything about her. And he was in control of the Twitter and the Discord, so the social media accounts... And, like, her talking to people was him. And I think, like, a little bit of her. But I had never found her. I don't know where she is. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Okay, so Ellie as a human exists, but she's not actually that good at Overwatch. Got it. Okay.
No, not at all. No. Okay. Also, was not harassed.
It's important to throw that out there. Huh?
That is very important here. There was no woman named Ellie harassed. It was Punisher, this dude, under the Ellie Discord account and the Twitter account, which is a social media...
Okay.
Which is what she had been using.
The Ellie internet entity was harassed, but sounds like this 17-year-old girl just, you know, probably split way, you know, parted ways. And so she didn't catch any of that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's get to Rod's favorite part.
Right, yeah. Tell us why this tell us why this matters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are like a few things here. One, and then the reason that Richard wrote this article today about why we shouldn't forget this, and is currently, it really is a pet peeve for me, is that, okay, I didn't pay attention to this story, like, when it, because, like, there was even a week or two ago before all this happened, someone even wrote on Reddit who Ellie was, and that person was right. It just so happened that the person who wrote on Reddit who Ellie really was the same person that was harassing Ellie in the screenshots. Whoa. So no one actually took this person seriously, because the same dude that was like trying to dox Ellie and trying to like talk shit to her was a known asshole. His name is Haunt. He's a griefer. I banned him from the Overwatch Discord. He's been banned off of Overwatch the game. He's been banned off of Twitter for being a piece of shit. He's like a racist and like a sexist. He's like a just general asshole on the internet all the time. So when he wrote like Ellie's not real, it's actually Punisher, no, everyone's like, fuck you, Haunt. You're a piece of shit asshole. And then he went on to harass Ellie because he tried to slide into Ellie's DMs. Because Haunt actually thought that Ellie was a girl, and Ellie turned him down, and because Punisher knew Haunt, because they're both griefing fuckheads, Punisher knew that this would be a good way to troll Haunt and post the screenshots on the Twitter of Ellie being harassed and having to step down from the team because of Haunt, who 2 weeks prior tried to expose him, and they know each other, and he thought it was funny. So this is how, like, the entire thing started. And then after Ellie stepped down, you have professional journalists that are paid full-time money to be journalists and investigate stories about video games not check at all with this situation and how it would go. And it really started, I would say, like, a worldwide discussion on Twitter through the gaming and esports community. I think Zorian could probably... attest to this, about the harassment that women get in video games and on the internet and in esports, which I think is, I do think this is a legitimate topic. I do think it's real. There are a bunch of dudes that don't think that women actually get harassed more than men on the internet and video games, and I think they're fucking, I can't actually believe that people believe that. But that discussion got overshadowed because Ellie, you know, it was all about Ellie having to step down from the team and a young girl under 18 being harassed by douchebag men on the internet, and then her having to step down and not getting the chance. So the entire discussion, which is important to have, was started by this. I didn't like pay attention to this very thing for like at least 2 weeks, because I didn't really care so much. It was just a random person who wasn't even like a semi-pro player who got a chance to play in the second league of North American Overwatch, which, if anyone that knows Overwatch, means you're not getting into Overwatch League anyway. It doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. It's a fucking bad player. There's no reason for me to pay attention to this. And then 2 days before this story came out, I told another journalist, and I won't say who he or she is because... I don't want to make them look bad, but I told them, because they were asking me about this story, I said, I don't know, but I am pretty sure this whole thing is really weird, and I'm leaning towards this girl is not a real girl. Then a day or two later, all these stories come out. I spend one fucking hour actually doing, like, investigating and talking to people, and I find that, no, it's not a fucking girl. Aspen says it on her stream, and then I get multiple women to send me messages with Punisher about how he asked all of them to talk for him during the game, which is fucking insane, I will say. It's actually crazy that he had multiple women talking for him in-game. The whole fucking thing is crazy. But really, out of all of the L's that people took in this situation, and everyone took a fucking L, Ryan and Zareen, Blizzard took an L because they've been hit on like every side of their reputation and everything going on with that company, and you had two more days about sexual harassment in games talked about for Blizzard. The team who brought her on without like looking into her or who she was or what she was doing or her name or her age or anything. The entire Overwatch community who all fucking bought it. No one asked any questions. And the one person that ended up leaking the whole thing, they all shunned because he is rightfully an asshole. Don't get me wrong. And then last but not least, the media who made this a nationwide issue, something that is important. I think it is a very important issue to talk about harassment that women get online and in games, and that I do believe it is real. And they made it a fucking joke. It was a fucking joke because this dude did it for the lulz. He did it to piss people off. He did it to grief people, and he did it to troll people. Not only did he troll like pro players, which was his original intention of like only to troll the pros, he trolled the whole fucking media. He trolled the whole community. He trolled like hundreds of thousands of people by doing this. And the media's responsibility is to tell the truth and to investigate things like this, and they did not do a good job at all. So they turned a serious issue into a joke, and they once again fucked up a story within esports, which they are now consistently doing over there at Kotaku and Polygon, which have been two websites that I've complained about so much. I know I'm like, this is like a long rant here, but really, this is why Richard wrote the article. Out of all the fucking fucked up things about this story, and there are a lot of them, the media and their responsibility and how they've handled like covering esports and how they look at stories has really been a consistent mess, and this is just the latest one of them not knowing what the fuck they're doing.
Okay, so as the number one esports consultant, I almost used the word journalist, but you're not, you know... You didn't say journalist. Yeah, right, exactly. How would you, in your previous life as an esports journalist, have covered it?
The same way that I covered it on Twitter, except they would have wrote it on a website, and it would have been literally the same thing.
Okay, so which website would you have written it on?
Not Kotaku.com.
Does that really matter, though? Like,
Polygon. Yes.
I mean...
Yeah, it would not be for Kotaku, and it would not be for Polygon, because I will not work for those two companies. I don't believe that what they're doing at either of them has been a net positive for video games. And they're a good journalist at both, and I like people at both of these companies, but they have definitely fucked it up when it comes to their coverage of esports. It looks like they have no idea like how the fucking internet works or something. Like, to really not have any suspicion about this random person that got top five in the ladder randomly shows up within months they're saying they're a 17-year-old girl, to not be like in your head, I don't know, like, that's really not gonna pop into any of your minds, no matter how much of a feminist you are or no matter how much you want women to progress in video games and esports and become pro players. You have to have a brain about the situation, logically, about what might be happening in certain times. And now I have lived through multiple issues in my life where men have pretended to be women in esports. Multiple times. Okay, this is not the first fucking time a guy has pretended to be a woman in esports. We even had a writer. There was even an esports journalist named Anne Prag,
who
was a fucking dude pretending to be a female esports journalist. So this is not like a new thing that's been going on, let alone in esports, on the internet. Dudes have been pretending to be women on the internet for a really long time because they're fucking weird, or they're manipulative, or they're doing it for the lulz, and because they know it's easy to troll people, because people are so fucking gullible. But of anyone that should not be trolled, it's national media. But I say this, and today there was a story about the Wall Street Journal getting trolled, and they actually wrote a whole story about Laura Loomer and they got trolled, which is nothing we're going to talk about. But you know what? It doesn't fucking matter. You could be at one of the largest journalistic editorial publications in the whole world and still be duped because you can't use your fucking brain. So I would say overall, I would love for journalists in video games who cover the space of games and online games to know that online gaming is a weird place and weird fucking shit happens all the time, especially in esports. And if something seems weird and shady, probably more often than not, it's not a feel-good story of something happening. Something odd is happening in the background. And you just have to know, like, that is a reasonable thing. And to try to create a whole... I don't know. Like, especially issues around culture and social issues like harassment, which are important issues. This is what fucks up important discussions for me about these topics when there are stories that are blown up egregiously.
So essentially what you're saying is that you're the number one esports consultant. You could be the number one journalist. And everybody else covering these stories in mainstream media or gaming press needs to get on your level.
Richard is great. Richard Lewis, the writer of this article. He's right. Done well, too. He didn't get duped because he's not a fucking idiot. He could use his brain and for 5 minutes or 5 seconds or whatever it takes and realize, you know what? Probably not.
I mean, to play devil's advocate, they will probably... I mean, like, you know, looking at it from their perspective, it's like, hey, they probably really wanted to believe that there is a talented young female Overwatch player out there, and, you know, she's not given the same opportunity. And let's face it, like, women on the internet are always questioned whether or not they are actually women, so they were like, you know, maybe cross their mind to be like, hey, let's not be one of those people to ask, are you really a girl? And, like, try and show support for her in their weird, messed up way. Like, I agree with you. Like, I think there should have been better investigation done before certain things were published. And I know that Richard covered that in his article. He said, you know, like, they reached out for comment and they never got a response. So they ran the story anyway without it. You know, stuff like that shouldn't really fly at publications, especially, like, publications that are supposed to be doing the bulk of the reporting in esports that we have now, right? So, but to play devil's advocate, there's also, like, you need to be sensitive about, like, how Ellie might have felt being questioned about, like, who she was. And, like, you know, you're talking to someone who was supposedly an underage, like, you know, a minor as well. So you have to tread carefully about that as well. So, I don't know. It's just, like, there's this whole thing. But overall, like, I do agree with you. It sucks that the discussion becomes more about, like, how the story was handled rather than, like, the issues themselves.
Well, maybe it was a good learning lesson for all of the journalists that did get fooled, you know, that maybe something like a Skype call, you know, like a simple conversation could have, you know, helped to, you know, eliminate some of the uncertainty. But like,
I don't think so, Ryan, because none of them apologized. They all doubled down. None of them retracted their story. I've had DMs with several of those journalists. None of them felt like what they did was wrong. I told them they're all fucking idiots, and this is why I shit on them publicly all the time, because they can't admit that they fucked up. They can't admit that they fucked up. Like, they've been shown several times that they fucked up, and they can't just say, like, all right, we got it wrong, we shouldn't have printed this. They really did Zorin's justification. And I'm not saying that it's a wrong justification. I really know that, like, one, you have to tread carefully here because she is an underage girl and you don't want to always assume that it is not a woman on the other end. But it really feels more like people really wanted so badly for it to be true. They wanted the 17-year-old girl who is top 5 ranked on the ladder, who's come out of nowhere to be a fucking prodigy in the Overwatch community, to be true, to show that women can play at the highest level, and that there's another woman besides Gaguri out there, especially in North America, like the first really, really incredibly good North American woman. Because there are some good North American female players, like Barcode isn't playing. Those who follow Overwatch for, like, the first season of the beta in Overwatch, and I've known her for, like, a real long time, and she's great. But people really wanted the story to be true, and then people wanting the story to be true took over their mind of like how they thought about the situation. And if you are a professional journalist and your job is to look at things and write about them and report on them objectively, you cannot let your personal feelings on how you want the world to be and how you want to progress the world and make things better interfere with what is actually happening in whatever you're covering. And I really think that is a major problem with certain journalists at these publications, especially with the way that they cover a lot of issues which have intertwined culture and race and gender and, you know, that those types of things.
I think the real tragedy is whenever there actually is a 17-year-old girl from North America that's actually really, 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 really strong, she's going to have a hell of a time proving that she's legit.
No, it really is. All this did was make it worse for, like, other women now. Now, whenever there really is a woman who's, like, grinding through the ladder, coming out of nowhere as a new player, it is going to be twice as hard, or 10 times as hard, for her to prove herself. So congratulations, everyone, on fucking everything up. Blizzard, the team, Haunt, who harassed Ellie, Punisher, the guy who pretended to be Ellie and manipulated several women to talk for him in the fucking game, the media, who blew the entire thing up, and the entire community, who bought everything. Thank you to everyone. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Amazing. Great I'm job. Glad we got to talk about this. Yeah. Well, it's great that we covered that, because now we get to move on to the next exciting topic.
No, can we do yours before? No.
Yeah, let's do yours, Zuri.
Yeah, let's do Zuri's, please.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So, Tencent, if you don't know who Tencent is, they're one of the biggest companies in China. They own almost all the big gaming publishers. They own Riot Games. They own a large percentage of Epic Games, who of course make Fortnite. So you have League of Legends, Fortnite under their banner. They own a whole bunch of other internet properties as well in Asia. I don't want to get into that, but basically Tencent is like a Chinese conglomerate. They're super powerful, and they recently joined forces with Riot Games, it's kind of weird to say join forces since they own them anyway, but they joined forces with Riot Games to create a joint Chinese esports venture called TJ Sports. And I think this is a super big deal because TJ Sports is going to start by focusing on all things League of Legends business related in China. And that includes organizing the tournament, talent management, venues, all sorts of stuff. And they also announced their partners and all that. It was basically a really, really big announcement coming out of China. And kind of also, I don't know how you two feel about it, but it makes me feel uncomfortable in that Tencent just continues to grow and grow in power and make these big power moves. And they're I just feel like they're constantly on the cusp of controlling such a large population of esports that it's going to at some point get really gray area, and things are already kind of corrupt in China from the sources and bits that I hear here and there. So just throwing it out there, we should all be aware about Tencent taking over the world. And that's important. What do you two think about it?
Well, you know what, Zareen? Good thing there are no companies in America that own everything in their certain...
Not sure if being serious or not.
Good thing there's no telecom companies that own the whole fucking internet and every web platform and every content creator and literally everything, Zareen.
Yeah, but
glad
like,
that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but North America's pool is this much of China's, right? China is so huge and so large that it's almost comparing, I don't know what's a good comparison, an elephant to an ant, that kind of thing. So I just think that more people should be aware of it, that this is happening, and not a lot of if you're living in your cave per se, you don't really know or pay attention to news like this, because you're who the fuck is Tencent? What is happening? Why should I care about TJ Sports? Who is TJ Sports? Well, now you know.
I mean, I actually made a tweet about this maybe, I don't know, a few months ago. For those of you who don't know, Tencent owns 100% of Riot, which is League of Legends. 80% of Supercell, which is Clash Royale, 48% of Epic, which is fucking Fortnite, 10% of Bluehole, which is PUBG, and then 5% of Ubisoft and 5% of Activision Blizzard. Not to mention everything that Tencent owns and publishes on their own in China, which I believe is like Dungeon Fighter and like a whole bunch of other stuff which they publish themselves. Mm-hmm. So they really do kind of own everything. which, yeah, I think it is kind of worrying. You know, more worrying was that even though they own all this shit, did you know, because I listened into an investor call, I think it was a month ago, mm-hmm. that they've made less money this year than they did in the previous quarter. They made less fucking money. With Epic making like $3 billion in profit, they still made less money because of the recent government restrictions that were imposed on them for video games and how they can be rated and how they can be sold. Now, those restrictions were, I believe, taken back within the last week or two, and that bumped Tencent up. But Tencent was even put in a position by the Chinese government of less profits because the Chinese government was trying to crack down on games in general. But Tencent's lobbyists, along with NetEase, who are the two big companies in China that own fucking everything, also, I think Douyu. Yes. I believe Tencent owns one of the streaming platforms, and I believe Douyu is independent. Or maybe it's Huya. It's either Huya or Douyu is independent, and the other one is owned by Tencent. But anyway, so Tencent lobbyists and Huya and NetEase were able to get the Chinese government restrictions to lessen on games that are sold with blood and gore and all that other nonsense. So profits should rise back up. I actually think, in terms of the League of Legends thing, it was a general good move. Did you see the Ariel Horn thing? Horn is the main executive producer for Riot Games for the League of Legends World Championships. I believe the League of Legends LCS and the World Finals is the best production in all of esports. I believe it's better than Overwatch League. I believe it's better than the Majors and the Dota Majors, all of them. I believe the LCS is the best production in all of esports. And Ariel Horn has been the director and the executive head, the one leading the charge there. He officially announced today he's stepping down as executive producer, and he is going to be senior strategic advisor of TJ Sports with Tencent and Riot instead. So he is taking a position from Riot into now Tencent Riot thing, which I do think it does show that there's going to be a shift of personnel that work for Riot that might go now work for Tencent directly in this new partnership that they have. So I think it is going to be pretty important. Most people won't see it because most Westerners still don't know what the fuck Tencent does or is most of the time, even though they fucking own everything. But I think it's going to be pretty important for League of Legends esports going forward.
Yeah, I wonder if like their push for LPL, you know, it being like the Chinese league scene, which is a totally separate like regional bracket to like the NA, LCS, and the EU, if that will kind of be, I feel like, weird in the sense that, you know, like you're the controlling company and you there is like the whole like, are you going to favor LPL over like NALCS or EU or some sort of like, you know, weird thing there. So I don't know, like it's kind of hard to prove that kind of stuff, right? But I'm still curious, and I think it's important to raise that as like a thought to people.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we're sort of running into, you know, monopoly territory here, where oftentimes, at least, I have no idea what like the antitrust laws are in China, but you know, at least in America, once corporations start to get too big and then start acquiring competitors in space, then generally like the government will like break that up to prevent, you know, monopolies. With the LPL, it seems like now they're going to be able to control basically the entire thing top to bottom, which could make it so that, you know, let's say players aren't able to band together in some sort of players union type of situation, as well as, you know, if you're also you know, because now you're running the tournament, you're controlling the game, and you have control of the talent and the venues. So it seems like we're heading into very dangerous territory, kind of similar to how it seems like it is out here in North America with League as well as Overwatch. But this is sort of
like the publishers have all the power, they control everything.
Yeah, I don't really see that being the way that it always will be, because at some point there will be, as esports grows and, you know, becomes more legitimized, there's definitely going to be some government interaction to try to prevent situations like these, because I think a lot of times the way that it's been shaping up is, you know, the players really don't have a voice or an outlet that's separate from the, you know, the publisher that is controlling the whole thing. I mean, this is really like part of the problem with like super centralized esports that's all publisher driven as opposed to, you know, community driven. So
I mean, but Tencent's owned Riot this whole time. I mean, they're just starting this new joint venture, probably to easier organize the esports stuff that they do. I mean, I still believe that esports has been a loss for Riot. Like, it's still lost money, no matter... Like, the esports stuff itself, they probably... I don't even know how much they can correlate how much money they've made from, like, the using esports as a promotion for selling skins. I don't actually know if they know how to, like, quantify that together. But in terms of, like, how much money they made from sponsorships and whatever back, they've lost money. So maybe it's just trying to reorganize that to not lose as much money within Tencent, because Tencent's owned Riot this whole time anyway. It's not like they didn't own Riot before and now they do.
Right.
They've owned Riot this whole time nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They own Riot, but like the thing about the, let's say, the expenses related to esports within these publishers is that they're basically all looking at esports as a loss leader, so that it's just coming out of the marketing budget. But I mean, obviously the money that they make, whether they can track it and trace it back to, let's say, specific esports broadcasts or events or whatever, obviously is outweighing what they're spending. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep doing it. So, you know, I think it's just... It's going to continue this way for the foreseeable future. And it's only going to be once there's actual government oversight, which is obviously still a long ways away, that these things are going to change. But it's going to get really ugly at some point, with players not wanting to, you know, players getting fined for, you know, doing things that they shouldn't be, and all this stuff is going to keep on happening.
And look, yo, to be fair, as much as Tencent's ruling over everyone and their monopolization of everything, Riot's gone through a fucked up year. I would say Riot has had one of the worst years it's ever had, from the game being fucked up to fucking sexual harassment within the workplace and executives farting on people and all types of crazy shit is going on at that fucking company. You know, maybe it's for the fucking best, all right? Because they got problems over there.
Maybe that Tencent was reacting to all this, being like, look, you guys can't get your shit together over in North America. We're going to start our own league here.
I kind of think so.
That's an interesting take for sure.
I mean, to be fair, LCS and the LEC, splitting up NA and EU LCS into LCS and LEC, looks pretty good. Everything that they've done so far for the launch of LCS and they announced the LEC, which is the Europe version details today, looks pretty solid. So they're fucking up less. I don't know if that's Riot themselves fucking up less, or that is actually Tencent helping them fuck up less over there.
Yeah, I mean, franchising was a smart move on their part, I think, and has overall helped everyone.
For sure.
Okay, let's see. Moving on.
1 hour.
Sure. Okay. Do you guys want to talk about?
It's your pick, Ryan.
Sonic Fox, ADGQ, True Sight. What is True Sight?
We can fucking. It's the Dota documentary that came out today.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, so I probably wouldn't have anything.
Okay, I would just say it's really fucking cool for the CGI. It might be the coolest, like, documentary in esports that I've ever seen because Valve used Source Filmmaker, which they fucking create, to make some crazy CGI to intertwine with the story. Like, they took the actual gameplay of the tournament, and they made CGI of the tournament gameplay.
Wait, what? So the exact same thing that they did in free-to-play?
No, yes, but it looks even better now. Okay. But it looks even better.
I mean, it looked amazing in free-to-play, but sure. Maybe we can check it out, talk about it next week and why it's important.
I mean, I'll put a link to, like, one of the...
Okay.
One of the things, but...
All right, Zora, you want to talk about Pop Dog?
Wait, I thought you were going to pick a topic. You want
to... I picked my topic. The Allied Esports thing. That was...
Yeah, now it's back to you. Yeah, and then we already went around. And then Zoreen picked Tencent, TJ. And now it's back to you, Ryan. Come on.
I'm just trying to be considerate, okay? Look at...
Oh, I appreciate your considerations.
Look at Mr. Esports. I don't know how you guys were doing things back in the day, but in the Gutex, you know, rule... in the Gutex book of hosting... You know, you gotta at least give the option to the guests before trying to control the entire thing.
Guest one passes. Guest two? Does guest two pass?
Yes, I pass. Let's do it. Go, Ryan.
Both of the guests pass on your show, Ryan.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I want to hear what you want to make.
Let's talk. It's a toss-up between Sonic Fox and Pop Dog. I think that Pop Dog is more interesting to me personally, but there might be...
Okay, what we'll do.
I think Sonic Fox is topical because, like, we're... At least Ryan and I are from the FGC, right? And so, you know, seeing this kind of blow up has been interesting. Or seeing Sonic Fox blow up has been interesting. He's now, like, one of the most prime representatives of the FGC now out there, whether we like it or not.
Okay, let's talk about this. Rod, it was your headline. I'm paraphrasing because there's not actually an article linked. Sonic Fox gets hashtag I'm gay to trend worldwide on Twitter.
Yes.
Powerful. Very powerful.
Yeah. So, I mean, since we're on the Cross Counter show, I probably don't have to explain as much about Sonic Fox or, like, who the fuck he is as opposed to normal. So I'm going to assume most people know who he is and, like, what he does and, like, how he's good at video games and fighting games and shit. So he won, you know, Esports Player of the Year at the Game Awards. He made a speech that was lauded, I would say, by most people. I thought it was great. You had another group of people on the internet, including some gamers, who found it too political, and they found it patronizing, and they thought if anyone gave a similar speech about, like, because he said fuck Republicans at the end, and if anyone said fuck Democrats, that would have gone totally different. And probably they're right. They probably would have gotten, like, an insane amount of hate if someone had done that. So he already gotten himself in a similar type of controversy in terms of his role in the larger gaming community, how people view him. There was a Twitter user, I think he's a YouTuber and he does, like, comedy skits, who he says he's also gay, and he goes through Sonic Fox's tweets and he talks about how he's written I'm gay several dozen times, and he says that Sonic Fox is being annoying, and every time he writes I'm gay, he's showing why people hate gay people, which was a joke. I'm not saying that I'm not, like, offended or anything. He was kidding. And he makes some jokes about how why Sonic Fox is just, he's using it for an attention, he's just being annoying and obnoxious. In response, Sonic Fox and some help from his furry community, I don't know who the account was, I know it was part of the furry community, trended worldwide hashtag I'm gay in all capital letters. I tweeted about it a few days ago. I thought the whole situation was really funny and hilarious. I thought that people being upset at Sonic Fox was funnier, like, was the funny thing to me. I thought him, you know, just writing I'm gay all the time is funny, and I still think him writing I'm gay all the time still is funny, and people getting more upset about him writing hashtag I'm gay in capital letters is even more hilarious in the whole thing. And then since then, people have talked, now that it's been in the news a little bit, people have talked about it more, about, you know, people keep saying, the thing I keep being repeated is that Sonic Fox is the only thing he talks about. The only thing he says all the time is that I'm gay. And for all of us who actually work in esports, and especially you two who come from fighting games, people know Sonic Fox because might be the best Mortal Kombat player of all time. He's won majors in several different games, including DBFC, MK, Injustice 2, not to mention like Anime Fighters. And he's really known for being an incredible fighting game player and eSports Player of the Year. This whole I'm gay stuff is really more for reactionary people online that follow like politics and culture and that want to be upset about some stuff and that kind of follow games. But if you really know Sonic Fox, this whole thing was kind of a joke meme to him, and he doesn't say this all the time. I'm more on his side. I think him making people mad is really hilarious. I think it's funny. I think he should tweet I'm gay every fucking day for the next 2 years because of this. I find it more hilarious than I do obnoxious. But I want to hear what you two think about this.
Yeah, I mean, Sonic Fox is like, I think his like stock has been going up ever since he made his like big speech on the Game Awards, right? A lot of people who didn't follow the fighting game scene, definitely didn't follow esports, nor probably cared about it at all, suddenly took an interest in Sonic Fox, right? And he has become like famous and known because of that speech, or like that's kind of like where like his fame kind of kicked off, I think, and really, you know, got a lot of attention. Like, I can't even name who won esports of the year previous year, right? Like, I don't even remember. It's just not memorable. What he did was so memorable. Cold Zera. There you go. I knew it was like a CSGO. So the point is that we didn't remember that, right? Because it wasn't a memorable, like a speech that he gave or whatever. But Sonic Fox doing this, and so a lot of people didn't know who Sonic Fox was or what his brand was, right? And his brand is, he's a furry, he's gay, he's an amazing fighting game player. And the fact that he went up there like and like did his speech and was like, I'm gay, like, you know, I think that was super cool for him to do. And I don't understand why people are taking issue with that. Oh, he's politicizing the event. Like, no, that's just his brand. He just wanted to get it out there. Like, he wants to be known for the black furry gay player, and great, like, good for him. So, and I think like him, like that video that you're talking about where that YouTuber or whatever was pulling up examples of his tweets, like he has like a couple of dozen tweets. Well, it's like, what, a couple of dozen tweets out of like, what, how many tweets has he made in like his whole Twitter history, right? Of course, if you sit there and go through them one by one, it's going to take a very long time, and it might make it seem like he tweets I am gay a lot, but it's probably like an actual, like, a very small percentage of his full Twitter, like, byline, like, profile of everything he's posted. So I just don't understand why people are making, like, such a big deal about the things, like, him saying I'm gay, like, frequently, or adding it to his Twitter posts. Like, I just don't get it.
I think that this is one of the things that makes him such a strong fighting game player, is he knows the moves to make to cause you to have the reaction that he wants. And I guess he enjoys the reaction that he gets from the internet or Twitter or whatever, mainstream media, or I don't know. He enjoys, I don't know if you would call it trolling, but he enjoys getting a reaction out of people. And I mean, I think if I were, I mean, I guess if I were in a similar position, I mean, I'd probably do the same thing. I mean, he has definitely cemented himself as somebody that has the potential to probably cross over to mainstream status, kind of like, you know, like Ninja, and has probably secured his, you know, a spot on whatever team he chooses to be on from now until he doesn't want to do it anymore, based on his ability to reach so many people, to get a reaction out of so many people, good or bad. So I think it's, I mean, kudos to him. I mean, good, you know, in fighting games, right? It's like, well, if you go back to a pre social media era, it's like, if you didn't like the way that somebody was talking, then you should probably beat that person to shut them up. And so, I mean, really, that should be inspiration to all the people that have such a huge problem with, you know, his Twitter account, which is really like, well, just be better than Sonic Fox and you too can say whatever you want. I mean to me, that's the way that fighting games just are. It's like, it's a meritocracy, and you know, the people, you know, the best players are the ones with the biggest platform to say whatever they want. So either do something about it, like get better and beat him, or maybe go point your attention elsewhere so that these things don't get you so hot and bothered all the time. It's just,
I mean, there are non-players though critiquing him, and people don't give a shit about being better than him. They're just gonna critique what he's saying.
So what?
Anyway,
I mean, it's really like, it's like, I don't know. Who cares? It's so easy. Maybe it's just me, but I mean, I'll just like unfollow people if I don't want to see what they tweet about. It doesn't. I guess maybe what it is now, being older, I don't have the same sort of energy to get all mad about every little thing. Like maybe I used to. I don't know. It's just. But yeah, hey, but you know, it's the internet. People are mad.
People love being reactionary on the internet, Ryan. We were talking about this before. Like, they want to be like, I'm so mad, and here is why I'm mad, and you should all listen to me be mad about something.
Sure. I mean, we are living in a call-out culture where people have this us versus them mentality that is sort of predicated on the notion that the pie is fixed and it's us versus them, and if they have more, that means that I have less. And so it sort of causes, you know, people wanting to be offended or triggered or call out, you know, things, mostly on social media, very rarely if ever face to face, you know, in some sort of like one-to-one, you know, adult conversation. I mean, you know, throw that one out the window. You know, as well as, let's say, having some sort of, you know, well-written, articulate, you know, response or, you know, criticism to something that you have issue with, as opposed to, you know, using 140 characters or, you know, or like a, you know, 2-minute Twitter video to, like, you know, bring attention and cause a ruckus. I don't know. Those are the things where there's clearly a disconnect between me and people who engage in that kind of behavior, and I just don't get it.
I agree.
Thanks, Rod.
Great. Great.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's see. Do you guys want to
hashtag stay mad?
Yeah, let's get that one. Let's get that
Stay
one.
Stay mad.
Yeah, let's get that one trending.
Stay mad.
Do you guys want to talk about Pop Dog?
Sure.
We could. You know what? Let's save it.
Okay.
Yeah, next week?
Let's do it next week. Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Let's see if anybody has any questions in the chat, just in case.
Oh, we're taking a chat Q&A.
Oh, that could shit, be... Twitch chat. Is there anyone actually watching?
Just in
is
case.
There anyone watching? Is it just us three?
Yeah, is it just three? Yours? Maybe play on our own browsers?
Oh. Lothire says, what's going on with Soulja Boy's consoles? That shit was hilarious. Did you guys see that?
Wait, his consoles?
Yeah, okay, so it didn't last very long, but there somewhere around the holidays, not too long ago, Soulja Boy, I guess, was like the spokesperson of some retro like emulator console. I don't remember what it was called, but it clearly had his photo on the box. I mean, this is one of these sort of like gray market consoles that you might see at a swap meet or something, where, you know, it combines all of these different games from different systems into one console. Obviously, you know, I didn't look too deeply into it, but I did see, I mean, when you see that type of stuff, you're just like, wow, like whose legal team let this through? But it did get through, and then it started to gain steam because I guess I'm out of touch and don't know, not super familiar with his music, but apparently has had a big enough reach to trigger the legal department at Nintendo, who sent them the cease and desist, and then now the Soulja Boy console website just redirects to the Nintendo website.
Wow, really? That's incredible.
Yeah.
So did any of these consoles actually get sold and make it out into the wild? Like,
fuck yeah.
There are people who have this? That thing's probably worth so much now, though, because of, like, Nintendo doing that. It's like a rare collector's item. You can't even like obtain it anymore.
Right, for all of the Soulja Boy diehard gamers out there,
it's not about being a Soulja Boy fan. It's about being a collector. If like you are a collector of retro game consoles, one of these days you're probably going to want to add that to your collection.
Okay, maybe one day this one will be in a museum.
Well, that's interesting. Soulja Boy is really diversifying his portfolio.
I just want to say that I actually talked to him today.
You talked to Soulja Boy?
No.
He's in New York. And I might be meeting up with him tomorrow.
What did you guys talk about? Wait, is this about his esports team? Because he wants to start an esports team, right?
Oh, he follows me on Twitter. Like, you can check. I've been DMing him. Because he said he wanted to start an esports team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I slid into Soulja Boy's DMs and were like, yo, bro, if you need
I'm the number one
esports consultant. You should listen to me. I know how this is done.
And he did, and he gave me his number.
Oh, my God. Soulja Boy, so if you're out there, please be careful. Jesus Christ. Okay, well, here's the thing, Rod. Can you, as an exclusive to the Untitled Esports show, shoot a quick video that we can run next time with Soulja Boy, with him talking about what happened?
Yeah, all right, I'll bring the exclusive. If this happens, not sure if it will. He was out, you know, getting his shopping on or whatever the fuck. He fucking is doing it today. He went on like a Barstool Radio and whatever today. Talk about how he's bigger than Drake. Go check out that. Go check out that interview. He's the hottest rapper in the game right now, right?
Drake's got 100 thieves, man. He's got a
in the game.
Okay, so if you meet up with him, can you shoot a quick video and then we'll run it next time? Yep. I mean, you. I mean, as the number one esports consultant, you know.
Hopefully he'll have his console with him, too. We could fucking play that shit.
Zorin wants one for her collection. And now that they can't be sold, maybe he'll just give you one.
Yeah, I can hook us up, Rod.
Well, actually, if you've been following his Twitter, he's been asking people to donate to his Cash App, and then the person who donates the most, he'll give away like some random shit. I'm not sure if he's going to give me a console anytime soon, Ryan. I think I have to donate to the Cash App to get a console.
What the hell? He's begging for donations? What the hell is...
Cash App.
Okay, well...
Glad we're right on topic, by the way. Good I'm glad Soulja Boy is now getting into esports. This is a fucking conversation that I wanted to have on this type of show. Are you two believers in Soulja Boy's esports team coming up?
Well, yeah, I mean, if the number one esports... Right? I mean, if the number one esports consultant is helping with the planning and execution, then, I mean, it has, you know, Echo Fox, TSM, Cloud9... Watch your backs, because Slasher and Soulja Boy are coming for you.
Yo, if you're a pro gamer and you smoke blunts all day, we are interested in your services. So, Mango, you're like perfect. Mango, if you want to leave Cloud9 and you want to drink every fucking day on stream, you come to Soulja Boy and Slasher's team. All right?
Oh, and Slasher's team. All right. So you're going to be one of those team owners, huh?
Justin Wong is in there. He's already, you know, he's got a new tag. SJBJ Wong GG. Yeah, see, you got your first recruit. That was easy. All right. Well, now all you got to do is... meet up with him and share this elaborate plan. Tell him you got all
one.
Yeah. And you know, like step one, meet up, step two, show him the plan. Step three, ? Step four, profit. Easy.
Hey, real talk, I am so curious where he's like what game he's gonna insert his esports team into, because
yeah, Rod,
it's quite like limited, right? So
Fortnite.
Just throwing it out. Is there Fortnite esports?
You don't
at the
think
moment?
That this like... was like that he was trying to create retro esports? Like that was he was trying to take the publisher model.
You mean that Tetris money, man?
Yeah, like, and flip it on its head
for grand prize.
He's
yeah.
like, look, Riot owns League of Legends. Blizzard owns Overwatch League. I'm going to own these consoles. Everybody's going to have to buy my consoles to compete in retro esports.
If he throws a prize pool in, yeah.
Well, he can take all the money they made from the retro game and give it to Justin Wong. That'll be...
Here, Justin, here's $12. Don't spend it all at once.
I would love...
Hey, you know what? That might be a better deal than what he got at Echo Fox.
Oh, shit.
Nothing against Justin. Justin's great.
Damn, Rick Fox.
Damn.
There are some problems at Echo Fox. Currently.
We can talk about that next week.
Yeah. There's a reason there is no one left of that fucking team. I assume Sonic Fox will be gone soon.
Are you... What? How could they possibly get rid of Sonic Fox after all that?
I don't think they got rid of Justin. I think Justin left.
Yeah,
what? You can read between the lines.
I mean, Justin tweeted it.
Justin left Echo Fox today.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my
Ryan,
god.
Ryan, what the fuck? Literally in the chat. Literally in the fucking chat. He tweeted earlier. You run a new eSports news show. You're in fighting games.
Wait.
Ryan Gutierrez, Gutex PogChamp. Please tell me you are aware.
He is now. Aren't you glad we're doing the show, Ryan? Yeah, we're hoping you like stay up to date with all the news.
Look, 3 hours ago we were about to go live, okay? Justin Wong says, I'm here to announce I'm currently a free agent and I have not re-signed with Echo Fox. They are an amazing team and wish them the best, but I want to see what other opportunities are out there. DMs are open for everyone. Please spread the word. Would love to find a new home. And he's wearing one of these sweet esports entertaining.
Yeah, he's wearing your shirt. He's helping promote your merch, and you didn't even see the tweet.
Well, hey, you know, I was trying to get the show off the ground, but I know
that
now.
That's true. That's true.
Well, he
that
says he's homeless now and he's living in your apartment, Ryan.
That's fine.
He wrote that in chat. Okay.
That's fine. I mean, yeah. It's okay.
It's okay.
I'll take Justin's room. He can have mine.
I mean, I was going to ask you at the beginning of the show, Ryan, you don't have Mike Ross hiding underneath the bed, do you?
I mean, I could check, but last time I did, he wasn't there.
Oh. All right, cool. Yeah, let's end it on that sad note.
Hey, what can I say? This is why we do the show, so that we all can know, you know.
Yeah, everyone knows the things that are going on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you guys didn't know about the Allied Esports thing. I had to write a 10-tweet summary to you know, since the number one esports consultant couldn't be bothered. So, you know, now we're even, you know. Now I got the heads up that Justin's a free agent. You guys got the heads up that Allied Esports is a thing.
Thank you. Truly blessed. Hashtag blessed.
And we want to thank everybody.
Wait, are we done? Wait. Can we do the last topic?
Sure.
What? Are we actually?
Okay. Sure. Can we just do ADGQ? Because it was just ended.
No, I have so much to talk about. Like, if we go into that.
Oh, so you want to save it?
I don't care.
Let's save it for next week alongside Pop Dog. Well, so what? Like, it doesn't make it. Like, we're going to talk about it a week later. It's fine.
All right.
It'll still be relevant, Rod. Even though the Allied Esports World Poker Tour thing happened a while ago, we still talked about it, and it's still a thing. So if it's not relevant next week, then it probably wasn't that important.
I mean, I'm not relevant any week, and I'm not important at all. So that's kind of why. Why am I? I don't even know how I'm still going. So I guess that's
the number one.
You're the number one esports consultant, and you got a date with Soulja Boy. So I mean, you know, you got. What, don't you?
How you doing, Ryan?
I mean, I didn't say it was better.
Is my date with Soulja Boy?
I don't even think.
Jelly?
I don't even think I could name a Soulja Boy song if I heard it, to be honest.
Isn't that the one
that's like... Superman, that hoe!
That one!
Yeah,
Superman, yeah, that one. Anyway. Come on. Anyway, no. Ryan's into, like, EDM and, like, house and techno and all that.
Dude, you've never Superman that hoe, Ryan.
No, we are not going there. Stop! We have finished that.
Talking about comic books, Zareen, what are you talking about? Right? Oh, yeah. He's making a comic.
The DC hero, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, dirty.
All right. Anyways.
All right. Same time next week, guys.
yes. We'll figure out a way to schedule it at a time that actually works. Now we actually know how to execute, so it'll be better next time. To the couple dozen people that are watching, thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow here or wherever you're listening. Eventually it'll be on iTunes, subscribe, blah, 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 do all that stuff. Slasher, where do people go for updates on the world's number one esports consultant and his new joint venture with Soulja Boy?
Well, for right now, I'm the number one esports consultant, but if you guys didn't know, the NYXL kicked off all of their players on their second team, which is XL2, their contenders team.
So you got a shot now?
They're looking for New York players only. As you see, I'm already...
Wait, sorry.
I'm already, you know,
I thought,
ready to go.
Wasn't,
I'm already ready to go.
Wasn't that team only Koreans?
Yes. Like the Academy team, which is like the second level team that feeds into the Overwatch League team.
Okay, but not the...
B team.
The main team is all Korean.
Right.
But they kicked off all their players on the second team now for New York only players. They're looking for some local players.
Got it. Okay, so the A team is still all Koreans.
Yeah, the A team is still all Korean. But I am here. I've already got, you know, I'm already representing New York. I got the swag on. I'm 4475 peak. Peaks SR. I was ranked one in the world for support in season one, which was only 2.5 years ago. I have beaten Siegel one time in a tournament. Okay? In a tournament match. I've done that. I've beaten NYXL players in a tournament game one time. 3 years ago in the beta, and I feel Like, I am deserving of being on XL2 so I can make my way to Overwatch League. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to come next week, guys. I'm going to try to, you know, hook it up with Soulja Boy, continue being the number one esports consultant, but you may see me soon in OWL. Zareen, I can see you're already really jelly right now.
When are the tryouts?
Next, like, few weeks.
Okay. So when you go, I want you to shoot, you know, some video
and content.
We'll, okay. Yeah, and then we'll run it, you know, the next week, so that if you make the team, we have some sort of send off, and if you don't make the team, then we have some interesting on the field content.
Cool. I mean, it can't be any worse than your matches when you're in your jacket and shades.
Damn.
First off, yeah. Vlad, I have the credibility of a strong of a strong fighting game player. My accolades as a competitor are longer than you could ever, at this point in the game, ever hope to compete with. So you can knock me, you know, you can make fun of me now, but it's better to be a has-been than it never was.
Oh,
Zorin, where can people go?
Man, trust you guys to turn Rod's outro into like this 5-minute pissing contest. But you can find me on Twitter at Zorin, and on Twitch I am Team Zorin. One word.
When do you stream?
I usually stream on Fridays in the evening Pacific time. Mm. I'm based on the West Coast. So
all right. twitch.tv/TeamZorin, twitter.com/slasher, the exclusive place to find the content of the number one esports consultant. You will not see it on any other websites or publications. I mean, this is part of the plan. Guys, right. I want to thank you so much for watching. My name is Gutex. You can follow me on the Instagrams and the Twitters. Follow Cross Counter TV on Twitch and YouTube and whatnot. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll most likely see you next week. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.